Well, good morning, everyone. Today's lesson is going to be a little bit different. In thinking about this lesson and putting it together, I realized that I really don't have time to do the introduction and do the lesson. So I decided what I would do is today I'm just going to give you the introduction to the lesson. And then my next time up, we'll do the lesson. Okay? So, unfortunately, it's all on tape that if someone's not here, they can hear the introduction before they hear the lesson. Okay? But anyway, I entitled this, Human Suffering and a Present Help in Time of Need. Blaine brought to discussion a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night lesson. He brought a discussion about a movie that was made in 2001 called A Beautiful Mind. And so I went and I watched that movie, and it started me to thinking. And right along that time, different people came along in my life I were talking to, and different things were coming up, and everything kept pointing in this direction to talk about this. And so it's the story of an American Nobel Prize winner, John Nash, whose innovative work on game theory in mathematics, and get with Blaine about that, what that means, was overshadowed, though, by decades of mental illness. He was a mathematical genius. And he did some cryptographic work for the Pentagon, which is breaking secret codes. And so they brought him in there to break these secret codes of the Russians. And they brought him in, and they had all these codes up on the wall, just going across, all these numbers and letters and all that. And he just goes in and starts looking at it and just... He winds up standing there apparently for hours and breaks the code. So he was a student of Princeton University. His genius there was well known by everyone. But later, it became more and more evident of his mental illness as well. He was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia at the age of 29. Nash had apparently recovered from the disease later in life before he died, and he said, which he said was done without medication. Schizophrenia is a serious mental disorder in which people interpret reality abnormally. It's a combination of hallucinations and delusions, extremely disordered thinking and behavior that impairs one's daily functioning and is disabling. I was thinking about your meditation, Rick, their stewardship, and what they were saying about Jesus. And they made him sound like he was a schizophrenia, but he wasn't, because we know that by the miracles which he did, that he was not crazy. But also with this comes delusions, false beliefs that are not based in reality, hallucinations, seeing or hearing things that don't exist. Hearing voices is most common. Disorganized thinking, which is inferred from disorganized speech. In summary, schizophrenia is a long-term mental disorder. It's a breakdown between thought, emotion, and behavior. Withdrawal from reality and personal relationships, into fantasy and delusion, a sense of mental fragmentation. It is believed to be as a result of genetics or your environment, or altered, in some cases, altered brain chemistry may play a role. I went to school with a guy that was actually my neighbor, lived by me, and we were good friends, and just one day he changed, and he became obviously meeting much of what I now recognize as these symptoms. And in his case, the brain chemistry change came from, I believe, him taking paper acid. So back in those days, those hippie days, you know, people would take just about anything they could to get a high. And he got a hold of some paper acid that wasn't what it was supposed to be, apparently. And he was never the same since. Is it to this day? So anyway, I encourage you to watch that movie. If you haven't seen it lately, I encourage you to watch that movie. Now, before moving on to a present help in time of need, we must consider one more aspect of human suffering that is widespread, and it's known as PTSD. And it's just what it says. Post, meaning after, traumatic, some sort of trauma has happened, which is affecting you, which causes stress that is emotionally disturbing or distressing, and disorder. It disrupts normal physical or mental functions. PTSD. Now, this is not something new to the modern world, but started with Adam and Eve being thrown out of the Garden of Eden. It was a paradise lost, with a death sentence and a life of hardships to come. Think about their emotions when they realize what had just happened to them. You know, it wasn't, oh, well, we're out thrown out of the garden. No, you try to put yourself in their shoes and realize the stress, the trauma of what just happened to them. So it's been around a long time. In other words, PTSD, schizophrenia, and all other sufferings are a part of being in a fallen world. So we must ask the question, how serious is sin? And so one must realize every time one sins, that they contribute to the cause for the suffering that is in this world. We're not saying that perhaps a personal sin has given you this kind of suffering. Perhaps it has. Sometimes, you know, we reap what we sow. So perhaps we at times bring things upon ourselves that attribute to this suffering. But really, it's the darkness that affects everyone. Every time we all commit a sin, we are affecting this world we live in. We are adding to the darkness that affects everyone. So this answers the why, the big question, why? Why all the suffering in the world? Goes back to sin. So we see that PTSD does not just affect people associated with war. It's commonly known among people that have been in war to suffer from this. whether soldiers or civilians. Civilians caught up in the war, and how much they suffer from it. But as well, people who have been assaulted by other people, either mentally or physically, whether having been involved in an accident or part of a natural disaster of a fallen nature we live in, or been part of a terror attack. All these things that affect us all. Sometimes PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is brought on by not something that happens to you personally, but to someone who you love dearly, or perhaps the death of a loved one. We all suffer these things in a fallen world. PTSD is something that, at least to some degree, affects most of the human race one way or another in their lifetime. Some people never get over it. But it's best for people still around us who need us, by God's help, to learn to move forward. As well, those who have suffered and come out the other side, they come through it. They're the ones who can best help those who are presently going through a similar experience. You know, many of the issues I'm talking about are treated with medications along the lines of antidepressants and other meds for sleeping problems and nightmares. That's mostly how they treat these things, antidepressants and meds to help you sleep, which are helpful at times to give your mind rest. The other form of treatment used is psychotherapy, which means talk therapy, which you could say is what this lesson is made up of. Jay Adams wrote a book called Competent to Counsel, in which he shows that all Christians with the Word of God in hand are competent to counsel. Think about it. Where else are you going to find greater wisdom from the author being our creator, who knows us thoroughly, knows all the issues, and has the answers? What other book in the world are your professional people going to bring forth that would be better advice and more wise than this? Competent to counsel. Some things written here, even a natural man can understand, such as laws of sowing and reaping. We can all understand. You sow this, you get that. Everybody can understand that concept that Jesus taught. Other things, though, of a deeper nature concerning the kingdom of God, would require a man to first be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he may have the mind of Christ to discern spiritual things, from which comes peace and joy. That's what people suffering these things need, is peace and joy, a reason to be joyous again. And so, as to the question of human suffering, it is asked, why? There's that question again. Why? Why does God allow such injustice? I had someone just this past week ask me that question. Someone suffering greatly from abuse that happened to him. Why does God allow such injustice, such suffering to go on? I mean, it's horrendous what men do to each other. Why doesn't he stop it? What happens on earth is because of sin. You know, I was thinking, like, if you go through a, let's say someone in heaven talking to God, someone who had been aborted by their parents, never really got to live their life on the earth, but now they're with God, and they're asking God, what happened? Why I didn't get to live? And so God, they look in the looking glass together of the past history of the earth, and God shows this person the darkness of sin that came into the world and all the darkness that came with it. It'd be a horrific history. It's the history of the earth, a fallen planet, fallen people. So, why does God allow it? In our next lesson, we're going to consider again some things concerning a present help in time of need. Until then, think on this as to why does God allow it? Can there be love without free will, or only robots? Maybe that's why he allowed it. Can there be free will without suffering in a fallen world? Apparently not. Perhaps this has a lot to do with why God is reluctant to intervene. That is, to come between so as to prevent or alter a result or a course of events. If there's going to be free will, he can't be intervening too much. And in a fallen world, there cannot be free will without suffering. So God puts a high premium on free will because it's tied to love. Else we're just robots. But things do happen to good people, as we think of good people, though Jesus said there is none good but the Father. And things happen to innocent people, children. However, the Lord has provided a way for suffering to be overcome. Just as Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But that's for our next lesson. So, as I've been thinking on these things, and what we can learn from the Bible, I realize many of the things I have taught in the last couple years are about these things concerning human suffering. When I would think of something that would relate, I thought, I think I said something about that. So that is why I said we will consider again some of the things taught before. Only this time with human suffering and a present help in time of need in mind. This week, we talked about suffering And the next time we will look at a present help through past lessons, such as taking the stronghold of the mind, the power of expectation to overcome, belief in the God of miracles, overcoming the flesh in times of trials, resisting the voice of the stranger. What is the most important thing in prayer? Some things I've been thinking about. Why did Jesus come to the earth? To make God known, or some of the things that come to my mind is to make God known, to reveal truth, to die as our Savior, to give life more abundantly, to give peace, to give the promise of the Holy Spirit, to give eternal life, to set us free from sin, to make way for us to be forgiven of our sins. And with all this, hope and joy. And he also lets us know that God will take vengeance. Justice will be served for all these wrongs that have been done to you or someone you love. He came to provide a way to be born again with an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So I'll close with the words of these couple songs here. Jeremy Camp's song, There Will Be a Day. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more, and we'll see Jesus face to face. There will be a day he will wipe away all tears. He will wipe away all tears. He will wipe away all tears. There will be a day. And we sang this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. We'll take this up again sometime.